Hey, America.
Start listening now. Really not bad.
Yeah,
that's
good.
Heavenly Chorus. All
right. Doing? Yeah.
It's been a while.
Yeah. Really good. It has been a while.
We are literally going to be recording this episode in the 5 minutes between Danny coming back from vacation and me going on vacation. So
Sam's literally podcasting from a U-Haul. We can't stop.
It's so dark.
Derek, roll the music.
And welcome to another busy episode of 12 Points from America, a Eurovision podcast from America, the country that thinks it invented tacos. I'm Eric.
Derek.
I'm Samantha.
And I'm Danny. We did invent the Choco Taco.
That's true.
That is true.
I feel like we invented the Doritos Locos Taco. and Taco Bell.
Yeah, we invented everything that the taco didn't want to be.
Yeah, exactly.
Are we supposed to be proud of this?
Yeah,
no,
we could be.
I don't think so.
Okay.
I don't think so.
All right, good to know. So, how's everybody doing?
Adequate.
Tolerable. Yeah,
I'm good.
Listen, we've at least had good weather.
That is true.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. Well, you've just jinxed us. We're now going to get like a freaking hurricane coming through Minnesota now, aren't we? Yeah. It's all your fault. You've jinxed us, Daniel Popava.
I'm going to get the remnants of everything coming up from the Caribbean. Sam, let them know where they can yell at me for basically performing a reverse rain dance.
Well, you can yell at Danny. Well, basically just through the ether because he's not really on Twitter. But you can find all of us together as a unit, a giant unified unit on Twitter or Facebook at 12pointsUSA. You can email us directly at 12pointsfromamerica@gmail.com. Or you can check out our website, 12pointsfromamerica.com. And if you want to support us directly, we don't have a Patreon or anything like that yet, but we do have a nifty Redbubble page that has fun stuff like t-shirts and face masks with t-shirts and t-shirts with face masks on them. And yeah, good times. Anyway, whatever medium that you are listening to us on, I hope that you have a chance to maybe give us a like, give us a subscribe, give us a review with as many little spangly stars as you would like to give us. The more, the better. So that's my spiel.
And that's our show. No,
yeah, thank you.
Gosh, yeah, we've been off for a few weeks, so we have a few things to talk about. We're just kind of shoot the S here, I feel like, this week. So thank you.
We have a healthy bit of news, but, you know.
Yeah.
The best thing that we can say about Europe is that, you know, I think we can be very positive that by this time, that Europe is not going to have a repeat of 2020. There's going to be an ESC 2021, thank God.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I'm sure they are working on some contingencies and things like that. Like, there will certainly be a Eurovision of some sort.
Even the early stuff. Sam, do you think we're going to have FICMAS this year?
Possibly. I mean, I can't quite say what the numbers are looking like for COVID in places like Albania, but... Mm-hmm. It's very possible. It might be, I'm almost imagining if they've got the capacity to maybe do something like they've been doing for the finals of RuPaul's Drag Race, where everybody kind of does something from home.
That's right.
Yeah, they do that. Who knows? Honestly, I'm sure that all of these delegations are pondering what would work best for them, both on a national level and what could potentially work on the stage in Rotterdam next year. A lot can happen between now and FICMAS.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I wonder if they're going to end up using Junior Eurovision this year to try some things.
That absolutely makes sense. Yeah,
sort of see what happens. You use the children as guinea pigs.
That's what we're doing in America.
Yeah, we'll come back to that.
But yeah, Junior Eurovision is often seen as sort of a testing ground for a lot of the things that you see at Senior. And sometimes it's something light and fun and innocuous, like, say, the flag parade, which is sort of a thing that Junior kind of did more often than Senior, and they kind of adopted it over. They are more likely to play around with things like voting. But the fact that Junior this year is going to be in a TV studio rather than the big arena show, that could mean something for 2021 and forward. But we'll see, we'll see, we'll see. It's like we all know, we know nothing.
That's right. So in the interim, since we've been off, Sam, you were on the BBC.
Yeah, it was pretty nifty. That was, I was
now,
on the
BBC. We have to ask, is this the BBC or is this like BBC 4?
It was BBC Radio 5.
Okay.
But they still called me directly. They called me, say, hey, Sam, you're an American who knows Eurovision. Why don't we talk about this thing that we're going to be talking about later on in this episode? So stay tuned. I got a call from BBC. They worked with me before on some Eurovision stuff. And the fact that I was frankly still awake because they had me broadcasting live at, it would have been about 12:30 in the morning, British Standard Time. So,
oh, that's easy.
Yeah, I was awake. Call the American. So yeah, it was a lot of fun. I was probably just on for, you know, just a couple of minutes chatting with a British fan as well, which actually led me on to another bit of things that I've been doing, cross-promoting. I appeared on this other fan, Laura, her show called Nul Poids, which is a great longstanding British podcast about Eurovision. So I appeared on their show probably about a week or so ago. And so that was a lot of fun. But yeah, I've also appeared on a couple of other recent episodes or soon to be released episodes as well, because I'm just a shameless self-promoter, evidently. It's weird because most of these people are actually coming to me. I'm not normally used to that. So I'm getting some major imposter syndrome coming on.
We're very popular. we're so popular. It's incredible.
Totes.
Yeah.
But yeah, my dear friends from high school actually had started up a podcast. My friends Jess and Adam started up a show called A Song Walks Into a Bar, where they pick a single song and do a super, super deep dive into it. Everything from character analysis to what drink would you pair with this song? And so I was a guest on their show and we decided to talk about Think About Things.
Oh, sure. And what did you pair with that?
Tell me
it's like Jones soda.
I figured, what did I have the mix? Oh, I said Icelandic birch liqueur and soda because this is a song about a newborn baby and nobody has the energy to do a really super fancy cocktail. So Icelandic birch liqueur and soda. That is the drink about things.
Drink about things. I like it. So Sam, what would you pair with Still Breathing by Samantha Tina? This is important to me.
Windex.
Perfect.
Bleach. It's just UV it. Blue, but applied via spray.
Ooh. Latvian party you? Next year.
what Derek, what would you pair with
Still Breathing?
With Still Breathing, yeah.
One of those brain hemorrhage shots.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, mind erasers.
Yeah.
Like tonic water and Kahlua.
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
I think I would pair that drink from Norseman in Minneapolis that we came to know as dumpster juice.
Dumpster juice.
I forget what it's actually called. I did recently go out and buy all the things necessary to make it, and I haven't tried yet because I'm scared. But I'm just going to read this off here for our listeners. Dumpster juice consists of navy rum, coffee liqueur, Coca-Cola, Fernet, cold brew coffee, an egg, cream, and nutmeg. And here's the thing. It's amazing.
It was so good. It was so good.
It has no business being as good as it is, and yet it is. Just like Still Breathing by Samantha. anyway.
Yeah, before we move on, just wanted to plug another podcast that I will be appearing on. It hasn't quite released yet. I think the first episode of this brand new show is going to drop at the end of August. It's called Super Funkin' Serious with Sparkle Sid. So it's sort of a pan pop culture deep dive. And he wanted to do a Eurovision exploration. So you can find out a little bit more about this upcoming podcast at Vicurious Media. So it's vicuriousmedia.com.
Uh-huh.
So, it's based on the programming language, VI.
Yeah.
Yes.
the text editor. Great.
But yeah, fun one.
Yeah. I also want to note, Sam, that your BBC interview aired on the radio here in Minnesota on a delay. I found this out because my brother, shout out to my brother, friend of the show,
yay,
heard it while he was falling asleep at about 3 o'clock in the morning on a Friday night.
Uh-huh.
Local radio station, The Current, plays
BBC
stuff.
Was this played on like the BBC World Service? Like, is that what he heard it on?
Yes.
Wow.
So at like 3 in the morning... here in Minnesota.
Wait. Was he falling asleep because it was 3 in the morning or was he falling asleep because it was me?
Because it was three in the morning. So he's falling asleep and he just sort of hears suddenly Samantha Ross from 12 Points from America and was like, I don't want to say jolted awake, but was like, wait, what? Like, of all the things that could be happening right now, how am I hearing about this broadcast that my brother is on from the BBC? I think that's amazing. So shout out to the BBC, friend of the show.
Absolutely. Call us anytime.
That's right. We're here when you need us and when you don't need us, as it turns out, we are also here.
Anyway, I'm not the only person being interviewed for media. Eric, sounds like you were working on a little project for our brethren over at ESC Insight. Is that right?
Yes. Yes, I did. Finn, friend of the show, is doing like an audio documentary or like a big audio feature on the cancellation of ESC 2020 and the impact it had and so on. And as a person who was going to go for the first time this year and had all of the and had everything lined up between flights and accreditation and all of that, after years and years of wanting to make it work, he wanted to put my misery in the spotlight to really highlight how sad I am. And so he did. I'm fine, by the way. It's fine. But we had a great conversation talking about just sort of the lead up at, you know, that day, the day that we found out that the bad thing that we knew was probably going to happen ended up happening and so on. And so look for that on ESC Insight. Finn, if you're listening, you're great. It was great to chat with you about all of that. And everyone else who's listening, put me on your thing too. I'm delightful. Someone I know has been listening to some earlier episodes and talked about when we did the 2019 recap, and I talked about how excited I was that 2020 was in the Netherlands and that like this was the year it's finally going to happen. How heartbreaking it is to listen to now, apparently, because I mean, like, we had no idea. Like, there was no way to know that the world was just going to completely change 2 months before this happened. But yeah, go back and listen to like episode 2 or 3. And if you like to watch, or if you like to hear someone be really excited about something that's not going to happen.
Look at it this way.
We have that for you.
Your Schadenfreude could help boost our numbers. So.
Yeah, if you really get jazzed about dramatic irony, it's going to be the episode for you.
Yeah, that's right. Shout out to me, friend of the show. But yeah, that was great. Thanks to Finn for having me. We've got some other news. Really important news is that Fred from Kano.
Yes.
Is doing Norwegian Strictly.
Yes.
Which is very important. As we know, Kano won the contest in 2019. And now he's moving on. What?
Check your notes.
What?
Check your notes.
For what? What's the issue?
He got it right. There's nothing wrong with what he said.
Damn Norwegian Americans.
Anyway, noted Eurovision winner Fred from Kano is going to be hopefully winning the Norwegian version of Strictly Come Dancing, aka Dancing with the Stars, as well. Hopefully. So we are rooting for him big time. I'm excited. I have no gauge for how good of a dancer he is.
No idea, but will 2019 was to Maroov Watch. Is 2020 going to be the year of Fred Watch?
Yes, absolutely.
All right, cool.
That's been our first edition. That's episode 0 of Fred Watch. Good luck to Fred. I'm not actually sure when it starts or starts airing or anything, so we'll look into that. But Fred, you're cool. Very, very cool. You guys, it's almost September.
Yeah.
How the hell did that happen?
Like, Eurovision season is almost here.
It really ought to be. Like, by the time we get to October, it's going to be full swing.
Yeah, I mean, we normally don't get like full-on songs until, you know, until December.
Once we get to October, we're not going to be piddling around like we are now and wasting the listeners' time. We're actually going to have a little bit of news.
We're hoping. But also, there's also the flood of Junior Eurovision stuff that would be coming through the pipeline as well over in the next couple of weeks. We're still waiting on our first songs or our first artists, but we know that the first week of September, we will be seeing Ranina, so the Georgian national selection for Junior, that'll be going on. Yes. I believe we've already had some rumblings out of Poland, out of Ukraine. Things are starting to happen. So, you know,
Bulgaria?
Not for Junior.
Okay.
But certainly for Senior.
Well, I'm sorry.
Yeah, we're really excited about that. So
are they for sure coming back then?
Bulgaria?
Yeah.
Yeah, they are. Victoria's coming back. And right now, like as we speak, they are hosting a songwriting camp over on the Bulgarian Black Sea coast, which sounds perfectly idyllic. And they are getting singers and songwriters and everything together, not just for Victoria, but possibly songs that could spill over to other artists as well. I've seen pictures with Victoria hanging out with Caesar Sampson. That is always a very, very dynamic duo, I can imagine. And we know that Caesar is very closely affiliated with the folks from Symphonics.
I was going to say, is Symphonics like deeply embedded in this songwriting thing or not really?
I don't know. I don't really know. I haven't reached out to anybody from Symphonics, but... No. There are connections, especially with the Bulgarian delegation, that it would absolutely make sense for them to work with her again. So we shall see. Looks like we've got a pair of follow-up singles from some favorite artists, either Eurovision 2020 or almost Eurovision 2020. Do we want to touch on that?
Yes, we do, Sam. I regret to report that Little Big is at it again.
Oh, God. Oh, God.
I wonder if we should have a Little Big watch, but more just to watch out, literally.
Yeah. They have a new song called Tacos, and if you like Little Big,
I'm sure
you will love it.
Let me guess. It goes doog 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 tacos doog 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 tacos doog doog doog. Is that close?
Yes, I believe it is.
All right.
At one point, they say the word tacos really, really fast over and over again. Just tacos, 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 tacos.
Sweet. Well, Erica Vickman's follow-up is probably going to be better than that.
I'm hoping so, yeah. By the time this episode is available, the follow-up to Cicciolina by Erica Vickman is going to be available. I'm not sure how much we know about it.
That it will be badass.
It's such a tough act to follow, you know? I don't know. It's going to be tough to top, but I'm excited to hear what it's like. If it's in the same vein, if it tries to be in the same vein, or if she just goes in a totally different direction.
Who knows? Well, for you in the future, listening to Cicciolina 2.0, let us know how it is. Let's see. What else is next on our... Oh, it looks like Ilse de Lange has received some international acclaim from an American organization. Is that right?
That's right. Ilse got a CMA award.
I can't believe that.
I can't believe it either. A CMA award?
Yeah.
So that's
like
Country award Music award? Of America, right? Yeah.
Yeah.
Country Music Association.
Yeah.
It's she got a special award for international achievement.
Gotcha.
Or something to that effect.
Waylon so is seething, right?
I would imagine so, which is fine. He's
that's
got a little outlaw
awesome
in him, so.
Yeah.
That's absolutely out of left field. I had no idea.
Well, supposedly, from what I'm seeing here, Ilse would be the very first winner of this international Global Country Artist Award from outside of the English language sphere. Well, all the other winners have been British, Canadian, Australian. But yeah, so for the very first time, it's somebody from outside the Anglosphere. So border breaker in many, many different ways.
That's fantastic.
We love Ilse. We love Ilse.
Yeah, she should come back. She should do a song about everybody having a little outlaw in them, except it's better and less racially problematic, and then wins the contest because shut up, Waylon.
And actually, I'm looking a little bit deeper. There are three artists that received this Global Country Award. Ilse, of course, a band out of Canada called the James Barker Band. And it looks like Jill Johnson, a Swedish act, who, if this is the same Jill Johnson, she may have been Sweden's representative back in the 1998 contest.
What?
Which, yeah, I'm surprised that other media hasn't picked up on that if this is the same Jill Johnson. Well, fun fact for that.
What have we found?
Well, she is still an active singer, country and pop. Yeah, it seems pretty likely that this is the same Jill Johnson.
Wow.
Yeah, her song Charlequinar.
Breaking news.
Yeah, Charlequinar, which she sang in 1998, which supposedly was actually inspired by the death of Princess Diana. 10th place in the contest that year, but still a really very beautiful, beautiful, beautiful song. So good on Jill.
That's great. Take that, Ilse.
Ooh, maybe they should duet. Jilsa.
Jilsa.
No, wait, that's terrible. Let's never speak of this again.
All right, fine. What else we got? Ooh, that's right. I've been wanting to mention this for a while. A couple weeks ago, I know at least some of you are fans of the show Pointless on the BBC, the quiz show. And one of the features of Pointless is there's a difficult round at the end where you have to give a correct response to any number of categories that their survey of 100 people did not give. So an answer worth 0 points, as it were, a pointless answer.
Ooh.
And a couple weeks ago, the final round of Pointless was on Eurovision. And spoilers, they did not get it. They did not win. But I want to know if you guys can get it.
All right, bring it.
So I have pulled up the list. I don't know if I have a list of every pointless answer, but we'll do this the same way. You have a minute or so to come up with a pointless answer in any of the following categories. Name any Eurovision host city or town, a finalist of the BBC's Eurovision You Decide, or a Eurovision winning song with a one word title.
So this
Give
is one that
guesses.
Nobody on the survey came up with it.
That's
right.
That's correct.
Okay. All right. I think I'll try the host cities.
Yes. All right.
So just host cities?
So you can give any three answers in any of those categories. You don't have to do one of each. You can do whatever.
So any three Eurovision host cities that we think that nobody else would have picked. I'm going to go with Lausanne, Cannes, and okay, I'm not going to say Harrogate because the Brits would have known Harrogate. So let's say, they would have probably known Mill Street as well. Let's say Bergen.
All right. So to my surprise, none of those are pointless answers.
Really? None of them?
Someone got all of those.
So
please tell me that they didn't say like the obvious ones. Please tell me they didn't say like Brighton.
No.
Should I have said Malmo?
Strangely.
I should have said Malmo.
No.
Gothenburg?
They noted during the recap that it seemed like they happened to, whenever they did the survey for this, they happened to catch some sort of Eurovision expert on the panel.
Oh. Because
there are tons and tons and tons of one-point answers, including like Mill Street and some others. The pointless answers for cities are as follows. Dusseldorf.
God damn it.
Istanbul, The Hague, Zagreb.
I was going to say. Oh.
And Lugano. That hosted the first one.
Oh, man. I was going back and forth in my head which of the Swiss cities was I going to say, because neither of them are like Geneva or Zurich, because they were both kind of obscure. Yeah. But really? No, they skipped Dusseldorf, huh?
Nobody said Dusseldorf.
Wow.
The deuce.
Lots of Eurovision You Decide pointless answers. For that, I probably would have picked Raya, who had a song that I really liked called Crazy, but nobody else seems to know it. So I feel like I might have won on that. But
all right.
There is only one pointless answer of a winning song with a one-word title.
All right, so
Are we including like the hyphenated ones? Like, what is it? Habanibi? What is that one?
Habanibi.
It's not that, so I'm going to say that doesn't count.
We're not counting that. All right. Please tell me it's like the very first one. Is it Refrain? Like,
no.
And it's a very recent that they completely forgot about. It is... what's the one that Data International did? What's Diva. That one? Diva? Is it
not
Diva?
Not Diva. Not Diva.
It is from the Couldn't same be. Decade as Diva, I believe.
Ooh. So I don't know.
90s winner.
From the 90s. What is it? What's from the 90s? It's Love Shine a Light, but it's said really quickly.
Yeah. Is it Nocturne?
It is Nocturne. Nocturne was the only one. So...
The Norwegians are going to be
pointless. Is a great show, and you should watch it. But maybe don't put a Eurovision expert on your panel. I don't know. So
also, speaking of the Statmotron, when's that going to be ready?
The Statmotron. So yeah.
What is the Statmotron for those people who are just tuning in, figuring what the heck are these words that people are making up?
The Statmotron is sort of a state of mind, but in a more accurate and honest way, it is a huge spreadsheet that I have been working on with an abundance of statistics and numbers and facts and figures about the history of the Eurovision Song Contest. And it's really cool. I've been able to find some interesting facts and figures about various things. We have talked about doing a show on running order. I have found some interesting little bits of information about things related to running order by using the Statmotron. It's something I hope we can perhaps even make available to the public at some point.
Ooh.
But right now it has every song. It has the last thing I really want to add is the individual points from each country for each contest and each semifinal and so on. That's going to take forever, but it will allow us to do some analytics about stuff like just how much Greece and Cyprus vote for each other. And that's
spoiler,
sort of
it's a lot.
96% of the time, yeah.
I did see, apparently, in terms of like total number of points over the last 10 years, Greece and Cyprus are not the two countries that have given the most points to each other.
I'm going to
Russia and Azerbaijan.
I was going to say Romania, Moldova.
That's right. Romania, Moldova is a little bit higher than those. The same thing also looked at some like one-sided voting situations. For instance, San Marino has given an absorbent number of points to Italy, as you can imagine. Can you guess how many points Italy has given to San Marino in the same time span? Not that they've had a lot of opportunities.
No. I'm going to say it's like null or like two.
It is zero.
Oh, even for Valentina.
Absolutely no points.
Nothing for say nana.
San Marino, think about this. Think about
things.
What you are getting in return here. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
What are you suggesting that they do, Eric? Should they just pick up the entire nation and just put it in the middle of, I don't know where they're getting their votes from?
They should lobby for Monaco to rejoin so they can be microstate buddies.
Well, let's see what Andorra decides to do if they ever come back.
That's true.
Well, they could put San Marino in the middle of Turkey. That relationship has been working out pretty well for them.
Ooh, then Turkey will come back.
Ooh.
Exactly.
Would be nice.
I like it.
All right. More from the Statmotron in the coming weeks, I'm sure. But there's one big topic that you may have noticed we haven't talked about and that we should talk about, and that is...
The Statmotron again.
Ourselves. No, it's ourselves. In a way.
It is ourselves. So the American Song Contest, a thing that was announced a while back and then quickly forgotten about because who would have thought that it would actually, you know, happen? Mm-hmm. And that remains to be seen. But there is some new information now. It seems like it is still being worked on. We have a general time frame. They say it's going to be holiday next year. So a little over a year from now.
Okay.
It's going to involve all 50 states. And there's a trailer that basically just says, you know how Eurovision is great? That's it.
When did this trailer come out? I must have missed this.
A couple weeks ago.
Okay. It came out freshly after, you know, Fire Soccer was able to seep into the American consciousness.
Yeah, basically. It was a nice little piggybacking.
Mm-hmm. All right.
I'm sure that there was
our suspicions have only been confirmed that was just Eurovision's foot in the door to America.
Oh yeah. I mean, what do we think about this? Are we excited? Are we worried? Are we?
I'm still skeptical.
I'm skeptical and worried just because all of those things that we like about Eurovision. Well, the thing that I like the most about Eurovision is that it is a marathon. Once it starts, it do not stop until you get to the end of the running order. And you can't do that on American TV.
That's very true.
Well,
we don't have the luxury of putting commercials at the very beginning and the very end of our programs, or even just once in the middle. You know, we have commercial breaks every 8 damn minutes.
So apparently they have kind of addressed that a little bit insofar as they have made it sound like they are not using the bunch of songs in a row format.
What are we doing then?
Well, the format, as they've described it, has been likened to March Madness.
Ugh.
Of course they would.
Oh, no. Oh, no. It's going to be head-to-heads?
Apparently, I hope not.
I mean, there's still time.
Oh, I'm going to open a vein. I cannot live with this. At least put them into I don't know, groups of eight. I don't know. Like,
I mean, we don't know anything about the format. I mean, Final Four, they could just, or that doesn't necessarily mean that they're doing like head-to-heads or anything like mm-hmm. that. I think, you know, where's the drama in that? But I think they might be leaning more towards having smaller semifinals. That would not,
maybe that would just be like, work at the beginning.
Like, yeah, like a 10 song show. Mm-hmm. And then maybe your top three from each of these five, you know. Yeah. Well, that's assuming they don't include DC as its own thing and maybe Puerto Rico or anything like that.
American, but assuming it's 50 song.
Ooh.
Do you think they would start incorporating more like backstory into the show?
Very possible.
I would almost count on it. The way they talk about how like every contestant on American Idol,
I was gonna say they're gonna turn it into a
it's about
season.
How their wife died or whatever.
Yeah really gonna get a lot of that, which, you know, the thing about Eurovision is you have the option of getting to get into that story, but American TV, they're going to craft one specific narrative and it's going to be all the channel. Oh yeah, what channel has actually acquired it? Is it ABC?
We don't know.
Yeah,
that's another thing. We don't know. It could be Netflix for all we know.
It's TNN. It's Spike TV.
It we don't know. It could be Loco. It could be ABC. It could be Netflix. We don't know this. And I think a lot of the programming is really going to depend on who picks it up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't know who it would be that would necessarily like get it more and make it more like the Eurovision that, you know, the four of us know and love.
This is how they finally get us to pay for YouTube Red.
Bite your tongue.
I mean, I don't want to have to do that.
I mean, if they have it on, say, Netflix, then that takes away a lot of the issue of the commercials that we're talking about. That does give it a little bit more of the flexibility to not have to deal with commercials. But you also lose the immediacy of, there's that song, it's up for voting now, how do I support it? When
Eurovision is the last great live TV event, you know, since I don't watch sports.
At least in terms of ones that there's sort of interactivity with. I mean, yeah, I am a bit like Danny in that I cannot get over the audacity that they are apparently thinking about doing some sort of single limb format.
I don't think they're going to do that. I really, really don't.
Yeah. I mean, the thing with single limb is that, like, yeah, it's cool that there's a 64 team tournament, like for NCAA basketball. Half those teams are gone after 2 days.
Yes, exactly. And
are we going to cut out half the U.S. right from the get-go? I hope not. I mean, Eurovision doesn't do that. Granted, it's like 65-35 in terms of who's in the final and who's not from year to year.
Single elimination would not allow certain songs to get to the spotlight because it's like, you know, if we're seeding it like the Final Four, poor Idaho is never going to go get through because they're always going to be coupled to California, you know? It's like, good luck, Wyoming. You're going to have to beat a state with 25 million more people in it than.
Yeah. Or they do it randomly and you inadvertently have the two best songs play each other in the second round and
let the carnage commence.
Yeah. And then the rest is just whatever. Like, it works well in college basketball because of like the nature of upsets and stuff like that. I don't think it works for music. I really don't. No. So hopefully they're still tinkering.
Imagine if they did this with like every movie that came out last year.
Like
finishing up this week, it's, you know, it's Infinity War and Emma.
What?
Yeah, where are you going with this, buddy?
They made another Emma?
Yeah, they
did. Yeah, it was pretty good.
But it's just, you know, I hate the idea of face-off format for art. The thing about Eurovision is that we can vote on it and we get to see the rankings. You know, it's not one person won and the other person lost. We can at least see a listing.
I think you guys are focusing way too much on the potential idea of a head-to-head, which frankly, like I said, I don't think is going to happen. I think it makes for bad TV.
No, I want to crap on it some more. Okay, go on. Sorry.
So I think, I mean, the people who are behind this show are the people who have made Melody Festivalen and have done a lot of work behind the scenes at Eurovision. They're not going, they know what makes for good TV, even if it's different between the United States and, say, Sweden.
Donald Duck.
True. So we'll have Donald Duck as our host. I love him. It's fine. But it's, they know how to make good TV. They know how to make TV exciting, even in this format that Americans aren't necessarily used to. And the thing is, Americans never really have seen anything like this before, where it's about the song rather than the artist.
Yeah.
It's.
I didn't know that the Melfest guys were by.
Yeah, Christopher Bjorkman.
Christer, yeah. That's right.
Yes, our very own Jesus Christer. He's coming over. He's walked over the ocean to join us on this side.
So if/when this happens, who is going to be our best host?
They're just going to get Seacrest.
But you mean like actual like individual host, like person host, or like town city host?
You know, I'm pretty sure they just, you know, the town host thing might not even matter that much because we're just here in America. It would probably just go between New York or LA. LA. Yeah. LA.
LA. You haven't had Eurovision until you've had Eurovision in LA.
Or they might go for somewhere that maybe makes it easier for everyone to watch. They might broadcast from Chicago.
Yeah,
Chicago. Or Nashville. Nashville, because they have the Opry. That sounds, hit on something here.
They push for that.
Do it at the Ryman. Honestly, that sounds amazing. Mm-hmm. I feel like Tennessee would be a favorite in this, by the way.
Mm. Easy to get to.
That would be my hunch. No, well, I mean to win it.
Oh, for winners.
Yeah. Tennessee, California, probably New York. Who else?
Georgia.
Who
else?
Georgia. Mm. I would not count Georgia out.
Mm-hmm.
Unlike regular Eurovision.
No.
Georgia. Florida. Honestly, the diversity of the music scene in Florida could do it.
I was going to say, just for the rap scenes in Florida, Georgia, and Chicago, that could go a long way, too.
Texas would probably.
Mm-hmm. Missouri, maybe, but at that point, we're really grasping for a straw. You know, is Alaska just going to always send Portugal the man every single year?
Hopefully.
When I first heard about this, my thought was, who are going to be the weird characters? Who are going to be the outliers? Who's going to be the Georgia, the San Marino?
Wisconsin.
Wisconsin?
Wisconsin is going to send something absolutely balls to the wall every single time. Huh. They breed weird things in the woods.
Who else is going to be the San Marino of the American Song Contest?
I'm thinking Delaware.
Delaware? Just Delaware. That is something like songs about tax breaks.
Yeah, and Teflon. I mean, of course, my brain is going to Portland, you know, to Oregon.
Mm-hmm. Oh, but the thing is, they would send fine music. They would send good music.
They would, but they would send something maybe a little bit,
but you just believe that the voters would like to send something very strange.
And that's the thing. We don't know how these songs are selected. We don't know if it's going to be, you know, the state selection, the state final for Colorado.
The national final of Wyoming.
None of us could vote because we're all participating.
The vote is held in that one zone of Yellowstone where it's legal to murder someone.
Oh, God.
I'm sorry, what?
Yeah, there's a small part of Wyoming that by accident they have found that it's difficult to prosecute crimes in it because it doesn't actually belong to any district court in the U.S.
Oh, I'll be right back. Dear Eric's enemies, please join me for a rousing trip to Yellowstone National Park. You do not need to buy a two-way ticket, and I will not be answering any follow-up questions. Anyway.
The thing about the American Song Contest that I just have a little bit of dread about is, and I don't mean to completely whitewash the entirety of flyover country, but the nice thing about getting something out of the Eurovision Song Contest is every country's going to send something that has its own very unique personality. And I'm not saying that each of the states doesn't have its own unique personality, But I do worry that the top vote getter in each one of these states, I'd say at least 20 out of the 50, is just going to be a country song, just going to be a pop country song.
I kind of touched on this a little bit when I was chatting with the BBC, and the fact that the American culture, you know, you can't point out a single state and say that is the music of that state. It's not like you could look at the nation of Georgia and say, okay, the polyphonic harmonies that they have from Iriao, that's 1,000% Georgia. That is absolutely them. Mm-hmm. You know, Fado, that's 100,000% Portugal. You know, with only a couple handfuls of exceptions, there are very few regional styles of music that you can listen to and say that is, you know, Zydeco. That's Louisiana. Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Hawaii.
But the fact, yeah, I mean, Hawaiian music. I mean, unless we go into, you know, traditional, say, if somebody representing, I don't know, New Mexico happens to be a member of the Navajo Nation or something like that and brings that out, we're going to end up with mostly monolingual.
Uh-huh.
You know, it's going to be really, I worry about homogeneity in all of this. I mean, a person in Minnesota can listen to country, they can listen to rock, they can listen to pop, they can listen to folk. And you can say that about anywhere. There's not...
Sure.
And I'm not sure if that's going to mean that you're going to have less in the way of quote-unquote political voting. I don't think that... States may have rivalries with each other, but it's...
Oh, the Carolinas are voting for each other again.
But it's not... you're not going to have a situation, you know, growing up in New Jersey, like there's this New York, New Jersey kind of like sibling rivalry going on.
They're not going to do anything for each other. It's right, going to be exactly. Armenia and Azerbaijan.
But obviously, nobody's going to care. I don't think like North and South Dakota are going to vote for or against each other because of anything. I think the issue is, are you going to have singers that are well-known going up against singers who are newcomers?
That's actually gonna be the issue. I think would be really exciting. It's like, you know, Hawaii can send Bruno Mars all they like, but I think it would be interesting to see how people like a new special Bruno Mars song against, you know, something that like some viral sensation out of Jamestown, North Dakota has sent this year. I'm excited like for those things.
Yeah, I feel like there's going to end up being like in one of these flyover states like Nebraska or North Dakota or whatever, some sort of underdog that just is like the fire
it.
Yeah, the fire saga of this whole thing or the real life Dottie Flair or somebody like that. And maybe as much as I hate this aspect of American reality competition stuff, this is maybe where the human interest stuff comes in a little bit, because culturally we are all just one country, you know, that maybe that's a justification for some of those stories being there. And you know what? What if the human interest angles or whatever, those are the postcards, and keep it in that that there's a little bit of that. You get to know the artist a little bit, something to glom onto or whatever. And then you go into the song and then you move on to the next one. And then you do the same thing.
That everybody gets their 30 seconds of this is who I am. Mm. This is something interesting about me. Whether it's, you know, I'm a teacher or, you know, I'm a veteran or I've sold a million albums or
I'm Bruno Mars. Yeah.
Or, you know, I'm a 17-year-old kid who just, you know, had a viral thing on TikTok and suddenly I'm here.
I'm actually fairly excited about this. You know, for all of the misgivings that I have, you know, if it's terrible, then it's just going to get quashed after one season.
Like World Idol?
Like
World
Idol. Yeah. But I am excited for the possibilities that this could have. I just would like it to be as close to the Eurovision format as can be, because I'm just in love with it has an enduring and long just time frame.
Would you rather it stick to the Eurovision formula and maybe not be especially successful, or eschew the formula and be a big hit, do you think?
That's tough.
I would prefer the first, and I can't say the second, because it's a spectrum. If they go going a little bit farther towards an American style means it'll make it more appealing for Americans and a bigger hit, I say go a little bit, but also just force these plebs out there to come meet us. I yell from my ivory Eurovision tower.
Also, Sam, you had mentioned that this is likely to be very monolingual, which is true, but it got me thinking, how great would it be? How amazing would it be if the winner of the American Song Contest was a song in Spanish?
Oh, yeah.
I was just thinking it. I'm like, Gloria Estefan comes from behind.
I was going to say Puerto Rico 2022. Like, let's make this happen. I would absolutely
first,
love it.
First, the American Song Contest. Second, statehood.
Get those senators.
Either way is fine.
Get those senators. Come on.
Yeah.
Well.
Yeah. the if your state wins, you get to host it next time is an interesting angle too. I wonder if, I mean, I don't know, because there aren't, you know, state broadcasters necessarily that would be like, okay, we got to go for it, or okay, let's, we don't want to win, let's send Tom Lieber or whatever.
That he doesn't even go here.
And it's not as huge as the Olympics. I'm sure it would attract a bunch of people in the way that, this is way overstating it, would attract people in the way that Coachella attracts people. And it's like, that doesn't completely ruin the economies of the towns where it happens.
I mean, this is going to be, if it does travel from city to city, say, you know, most cities would have a large amphitheater or theater sort of setting. It's not like you need a Super Bowl sized infrastructure or Super Bowl sized arena to make this work. Mm-hmm. You know, if any decently sized basketball arena would be generous for this sort of thing, as we've seen.
Imagine being able to host Eurovision outside.
Rain happens and it screws with the electrics. You want something constant. You want something predictable when it comes to your television production.
Yeah,
sure.
Every time Malta wins Junior Eurovision, people are always like, "Ooh, maybe they'll do it outside." No, it's not going to happen. I've gotten rained on in Malta. It can happen. It was okay. I was still in Malta. Anyway, you listening at home, first and foremost, thank you so much for listening to us. We appreciate you spending this approximately hour or so of chit-chat with us. Let us know what you think. Follow us again on social media. It's 12 Points USA on Twitter or Facebook. 12pointsfromamerica@gmail.com. Via email, 12pointsfromamerica.com. Our Redbubble. You can also just find 12 Points from America. All sorts of goodies there. Give us a review if you can, some stars, it'd be lovely. We'd certainly love to see them. This is fun, guys. This has felt like a good venting session.
Well, this is therapeutic. Well, I like any topic that allows me to express hope and abject dread.
That's Eurovision.
That's America.
Yeah, sure is.
Well, with that in
mind, love it or leave it.
in the event that we have a next time, hopefully there is. I'm Eric.
I'm Derek.
I'm Samantha.
I'm Danny.
And America,
stop listening now.
Well, actually, give me one sec.
Do we need to play Biz Kebby? Sob, sob, soup, soup, sob, 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 soup, soup, soup.